Good morning. It's 10:32 in the morning, and this is Observer Radio News. I'm Max Smith with Laura Ross and Anthea Jeremia. In the weather, it's cool and rainy, 9 degrees outside our East York studios. Ladies and gentlemen, bring your umbrella. Now, here are the headlines. A police officer is in hospital suffering from stab wounds to his hands and head after a domestic dispute call yesterday. A deportee for life was sent back to Pakistan. And G20 leaders in London have pledged $1 trillion in aid against the recession. Now, our top story. A police officer is in hospital with stab wounds to his head and hands after responding to a domestic dispute in Scarborough yesterday. Police arrived at the scene to find a woman dying of multiple stab wounds. A man, also at the scene, who is said to be her husband, allegedly attacked the officer. He was shot and died this morning in the hospital. The couple has 4 children, who are grieving the loss of their parents. Neighbors are left saddened and shocked by this unexpected event. The injured officer is said to have sustained a fairly significant but non-life-threatening injury. No charges have been laid at this point, but we will keep you up to date on this story as it unfolds. A woman is convinced that she will be the victim of an honor killing when she is deported to Pakistan in 3 weeks. 44-year-old Ruhi Tabassum was smuggled into Canada in 2001, where she filed an unsuccessful refugee claim. Tabassum says her estranged husband, Faisal Javed, is waiting for her return. According to Tabassum, her husband has hinted at an honor killing through threatening letters. One letter reads, "If you are here, I could not leave you alive." Javed, who is a businessman and Sunni community leader, grew angry when he learned his wife worked at a beauty salon, cutting both men and women's hair. Tabassum fears that violence against her will lead to extensive bloodshed between the two families. Statistics report that about 10,000 women die every year from honor killings, though the practice is said to be rare. Tabassum, however, is firm in her belief, stating, "In 3 weeks, I will be put to my death." The economy is in recession, and customers are more motivated than ever to find deals on life's many necessities. Canadians trying to stretch their money further turn to stores that sell in bulk, like Costco, a chain store that's become a household name doing just that. But this is really the best way to save money during these times? Or will it spend your paycheck faster? Laura Ross has this report.
The cost of living is going up, and so is the unemployment rate as Canada's economy heads down. Everyone is tightening their belts and looking for ways to pinch pennies, so they turn to bulk stores like Costco. Costco advertises big savings, but is it really saving you money? Savings in the long run are great, but some people just don't have the money to pay the more expensive price all at once for bulk items. Some Torontonians, like Gary Rodriguez, are also worried that shopping at stores like Costco is really false economy.
I personally think that Costco may seem like a cheaper option to a consumer, but in reality it plays on their psychology. You have more, therefore you use more. So in a real-life situation, Costco's savings actually make people spend more.
In spite of these feelings and the recession that has bankrupted several companies, Costco is still doing well, according to employee Matthew Elaine.
Costco has informed most of their employees that their jobs are pretty much safe, foreseeable need to do any layoffs.
Elaine also points out that Costco's main focus is bulk sales, but that they also sell individual items like produce at competitive prices.
People come into the warehouse for bulk items, but there's also a lot of fresh produce, a bakery department, and also a meat department that sells AAA grade Canadian beef. And for example, the milk, which you could buy at any other grocery store for pretty much $5 for 4 liters, you could buy at Costco for about $3.97.
So there are savings to be had at Costco. It is just a matter of what's best for you and your family. Laura Ross, Centennial College Radio News, Scarborough.
In world news, the G20 summit in London has reached a consensus on turning around the recession with a pledge of $1 trillion in aid. Canada's contribution to this will double to $22 billion. The G20 agreed on half a trillion, that's $500 billion, increase in money available to the International Monetary Fund. The money will be used to give loans to hard-hit countries. The G20 also pledged a $250 billion increase for the fund's use of supplementing nations' currency reserves. By 2010, the G20 will have injected $5 trillion into the economy. World leaders such as Prime Minister Stephen Harper and Barack Obama hope that this proactive stance helps to turn things around. And that's the latest news. Now here's Laura Ross with the sports.
Thanks, Max. The Maple Leafs may be out of the running for the Stanley Cup, but we still have Canadian teams to cheer for. The Calgary Flames are guaranteed a spot in the playoffs after their game last night. They beat the Dallas Stars 2-1 on their home turf in Texas. This is the 5th straight year that the Flames have made it to the playoffs. Unfortunately, they also lost another player to an injury last night. Defenseman Robin Reguerre left the game with a lower body injury not long after the second period started. The Flames now hold first place in the Northwest Division. The Northwest title and the home ice advantage that comes with it is their next goal. The Vancouver Canucks also earned their spot in the playoffs last night. They played the Anaheim Ducks and lost 6-5 in a shootout. But this gave them the point they needed to tie them with the Calgary Flames at 94 points for the first place in Northwest Division. But technically, the Flames lead the division because they have two more wins than the Canucks. The Flames and the Canucks will battle it out for the title on Tuesday. In the Eastern Conference, the Montreal Canadiens' chances of making the playoffs are looking up. They moved into seventh place with a brutal 5-1 win against the New York Islanders. In baseball news, a reporter in Florida asked Toronto Blue Jays manager Cito Gaston his thoughts on a new book written by Jeff Perlman. The Rocket That Fell to Earth claims that Roger Clemens was influential in Gaston's firing and the hiring of Tim Johnson in his place. Gaston is starting his second time around as Blue Jays manager and said it didn't change his already bad opinion of Clemens. The Toronto Blue Jays have also finished filling their roster for the new season. North Vancouver's Scott Richmond was the last rookie to be added to the team. He pitched in a preseason grapefruit matinee against the Detroit Tigers last night. He pitched for 6 innings and let 6 runs through out of 9 hits. In football, quarterback Marcus Brady has made the decision to retire after 7 seasons in the Canadian Football League. We will still be seeing him around, though. He will now be the Montreal Alouettes receivers coach. Now on to European football, otherwise known as soccer. The high school gym fills up every week during the winter for indoor games. The players all work during the day, and they play the game to get a little exercise and to unwind. Will Sen has this report.
Let's go, Black Gold! Watch a shot!
Good stuff, good stuff. Keep it going.
They're standing in a circle smoking outside of a high school gym. You wouldn't guess it, but they've just finished playing an hour of high-intensity sport. Every Wednesday night, they gather at Malvern Collegiate for a 5-on-5 indoor soccer league. Their team is the Black Toes. Not So Pro is a recreational league that attracts players from around the city who just want to get a little exercise and have some fun. But sometimes, the players develop a high level of competitiveness.
Good chase, that's a good chase.
John Osborne has been playing soccer for most of his life. He says that while he's playing for recreation and not necessarily for the competition, the games can sometimes get a little rough.
No, it's part of the game. You know, it's a competitive sport, regardless of no matter what level you're playing. Everybody wants to win, and, you know, it's, you know, contact's part of it, and it's all in the sport, right?
Osborne's teammate, Mark O'Day, has been playing soccer for 30 years. He enjoys meeting new people and says soccer is an excellent forum. He says that the teamwork involved in playing the game can be complicated.
If you play soccer properly, it is like chess. There's a lot of thinking to it. So when you have a bunch of strangers to get together for 13 days of a year or whatever and play together and play as well as we do, I think it's pretty cool, man.
O'Day believes that soccer is in his blood because he's Irish. The first gift he remembers getting from his father was a soccer ball. And while he isn't going to pressure her, he hopes that his newborn daughter can continue the family tradition. Will Sen, Observer Radio News, Toronto.
That's all for the sports world this morning. Stay with us after the break when Anthony has the latest in entertainment.
Well, this is going to be great.
Yeah, this thing goes really high, doesn't it?
If you're scared, just hang on me. Where do we go?
Honey, snap out of it! It's embarrassing!
Playland, now open daily. Admissions include unlimited access to 25 rides.
Welcome back, and hello everyone. Opening in theaters this weekend, Fast and Furious, the fourth installment in the automotive action franchise, brings back Vin Diesel, the star of the original movie. Also opening, Adventureland. The director of Superbad brings us this comedy flick about a college grad's summer job at a broken-down amusement park. David Cronenberg has been given the Legion of Honor, France's highest civilian award. The Canadian-born director lived in France in the 1970s. Well known for his unusual and eccentric films, in his acceptance speech, Cronenberg referred to the award as an amulet with magical powers protecting him against evil. Let's take a closer look at someone else doing things a little differently. His name is Nick Reynoldson, and he's been doing stand-up for 3 years. He's been part of various festivals and open mic nights around the city. Philip Smalley sits down and chats with him at Clinton's Tavern on Bloor.
There's beer on the floor in Clinton's Tavern, and Nick Reynoldson is right at home. 3 years ago, Reynoldson stepped onto the stage at a Yuk Yuk's amateur night event in Toronto. He was scared. He thought that everyone would hate his routine.
It's like terror and excitement, like a mix of it. Mostly terror. That goes away once you hit the stage, though. But like right before, once the MC calls your name, it is terror.
Reynolds' mom is from Guyana, and his dad is Canadian. He says this, coupled with his small size, accounts for a large part of his act.
I use it to my advantage. I never fit in so much when I was younger just because of that.
Luba Goy of Royal Canadian Air Force gives us her comments.
You know, we're in the business. When you do comedy, when you're performing comedy, your mandate is to get the laughter. That's the reward. You know, that's what you've been writing the material for. It's kind of a gift, you know, from the audience when you get this kind of response. It's visceral. It just comes right out, you know.
Reynoldson reminds me that comedy is not all-consuming.
I'm not one of those, like, a comedian that is a comedian. Like, I'm not going to do my material to you if we're just talking outside, you know what I mean? Like, my material's for the stage. Like.
The people in this poorly lit back room, roaring back their heads and laughing, would surely disagree. Philip Smalley, Observer News, Toronto.
The FBI are working to find out who leaked an unfinished workprint copy of the new X-Men movie onto the internet. The film isn't scheduled for release for another month. It was quickly pulled from the net after 20th Century Fox caught wind. The FBI are trying to trace it to its source from forensic marks left behind on the workprint. And that's all from me. Now let's send it back to Max for the wrap.
Thanks, Anthony. That's the news for now. You can hear more news coming up in about 15 minutes on the internet at ondemand.centennialcollege.ca. On behalf of all of us here at Observer Radio News, thanks for listening, and have a great morning, Toronto.